4 of our series, How to Live Through a Bad Day. Is anybody getting anything out of this? Anybody having a bad day right now? Okay, anybody in a bad season? I'm grateful that you're all good. So you're going to need this maybe tomorrow when you're having a bad day, okay? If you're not having one now, it may help you when you are. I want to get right into this message today. I believe this is going to be a message that's very timely. In a moment, I'll kind of explain some of those reasons. But from Hebrews chapter 12, I want us to look very quickly at our theme verse here for this series that's actually being taken out of the Message translation, or not translation, it's more of a paraphrase. It's an extreme paraphrase, actually, the Message, but it makes it very real for us. So if you'll pull out your Message notes, you can follow along with us. We also have it on the screen. And I want to also say, before I jump right into this text, let me just pause right here and say welcome to all those that are joining us online, and glad that you're here with us today. And those notes will be available as well to you online at our website at crossmountworshipcenter.com. We'll have that available this evening for you that you can look back on. But I encourage you to follow along with us. Look with me in the Message in Hebrews chapter 12 that says this: keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. So he ran this race that we also are in. It encourages us to put our eyes upon him. And look what it says: study how he did it. So we're looking to him as to see how we are to run this race as well. It goes on to say, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish with in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way. The cross, the shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor right alongside of God. And so what we're looking at here is how that when Jesus even was hanging on the cross, he was teaching us some things of how to survive our bad day. Jesus had an extremely bad day. We call it Good Friday. And he was hanging on the cross. And as he was suffering, there were 7 statements that he made. Jack Hayford, pastor, wrote a book entitled How to Live Through a Bad Day, and we're basing this series basically off of that, and that approach of looking at these 7 statements that Jesus said. And this is going to lead us right up to Easter Sunday with a tremendous conclusion. I encourage you, if you're watching online, if you're around in this area, we'd love for you to come and be with us on that day, and encourage all of us to be inviting, because we're just going to have a phenomenal day and believe that God's going to be setting some people free on Easter Sunday. But we're in part 4, the fourth statement of what Jesus made, the statement he made. And there's some lessons that we're going to learn through these that's going to help us through our bad day. But I want us to see what we've looked at. First of all, we looked at the fact that the first thing he said was, Father, forgive them, for they know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing, God. And so he prayed forgiveness. God, forgive them. First thing that we need to do when we're facing our bad day is to be forgiving. And so be sure and go back if you missed that, and check that out online at our website, and you can it's archived there and all the notes along with that. That's a foundational one. And then the second week, we talked about how we are to be compassionate, how that he saw the thief on the cross beside him, turned to him and said, remember me. And he said, look, this day you're going to be with me in paradise. He was in pain going through his suffering, and yet in the midst of that, he was able to be compassionate. And then last week we talked about being aware, where Jesus looked and he saw his mother, Mary, and he looked and he saw the one he loved, his disciple John, and said, John, take care of your mother. And she went and lived with him the rest of her life. But Jesus, while hanging there, he was aware of the needs of other people while he was going through what he was going through. Being aware. And I want to encourage us, be aware. And even though you're suffering, be aware there's other people suffering. And when you begin to actually minister to them, it's going to help you. That was last week. I encourage you to check that out as well. Had a conversation actually last Sunday afternoon. I have to give a shout out to Marie Bolligan, who I called her because I had missed her birthday by a day. It was on Saturday, and I called to wish her a happy birthday, called to encourage her and lift her up. But instead, she just encouraged me and lifted me up on the phone. I said, now, wait a minute. I called to encourage you, and here you are encouraging me. And I thought to myself, because I just delivered the message last week, and I thought to myself, you know, there's an example I could have used last week, so I'm going to give her a shout-out this week, because Marie has some challenges. She suffered a stroke many years ago, and she just has had a lot of challenges that she's had to battle through. And yet, in despite all her struggles, she is one of the most aware people in this church that is so always aware of all the needs of everybody around her, always conscientious, and she'll call me on my birthday, and she'll not only do that, she'll bless me with something, and she's just adamant about it, and I just want to give her a shout-out. In fact, I have to tell you guys that recently she gave us some Girl Scout cookies, and it wasn't, you know those Samoas, is that what they call them? They're great. I mean, it's of God, I'm just telling you, and not only did she give me one box, she gave us a whole carton, y'all. Whole carton. And I know what you're thinking. Pastor, why didn't you share all those with everybody, you know? But anyway, I'm just saying, be aware, be aware, be aware. That's a good one. I want to move on this week to the fourth thing that Jesus said, and it gives us this principle that will help us in our bad day, and that's to be assured. Now, get the scene here. Jesus is on the cross, suffering in great agony. The agony and the suffering that he had to endure was not just physical, but understand this, that he had the sin and the weight of all the world upon him. In the Old Testament, we see how there was a scapegoat that they would put all the guilt, all the sin on this scapegoat and put it and send it out of the city. It was a scapegoat. But Jesus became our scapegoat. All of our guilt, all of our shame, all of our sin was placed upon Jesus, and he took all of that for us. And he was there in this place being our scapegoat. I love this scripture that's found in 2 Corinthians. It's not in your notes, but let me give it to you. Verses, chapter 5, verse 21, that says, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He knew no sin, but all of our sin was placed upon him. And I cannot understand it all. I don't pretend to understand all, but it is a great mystery what Jesus went through. And one of the greatest mysteries was that while Jesus was hanging on the cross and he took sin upon him, him who knew no sin became sin for us. And he was hanging there between heaven and earth. And we understand that it is sin that separates us from God. It's that thing that puts distance between us and God. And here he was in that place, experiencing for us so we wouldn't have to. And what I'm saying by that is there became a distance between him and his heavenly Father, a separation. And at the noon hour, there was a great darkness that fell upon the earth. For 3 hours, it was midnight in the middle of the day as Jesus hung on the cross. And what we now understand is that it was actually the Father separating himself, because he separates himself from sin. And Jesus had to endure what he had never had to endure through all of time. He had been with his Father. He was part of his Father. You know, he's connected with his Father. And even while on this earth, when he took the form of a man, being 100% man, yet 100% God, God was with him, his Father. And yet, there was a moment now where God, the Father, separated himself and turned his back because he could not look upon sin. And in that moment, it's a mystery that we won't fully understand the depth of it. He experienced that void, that emptiness, and he experienced the darkness for us. And in that moment, he cried out to God with this question. And this is the fourth statement. It's found in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 46. And he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? I want to say, first of all, it's okay to ask God questions, because Jesus showed us that it is. It's okay to ask God questions. In fact, when you're going through something you don't understand, it's better to ask God than to ask people, because it's God that has the real answer. And so it's okay to question God. It's okay to ask him questions. There's a right way and a wrong way to do that. But God is the one to go to with your questions, not man. God gives us the answers to all of our questions. But in that moment, he was crying out, my God, I do not understand what I'm going through here. I don't understand why you're turning your back. I don't understand. It's, in other words, he was experiencing that void, that emptiness, that darkness for us. One thing I want you to understand, and you can write this down, and that is that we need to realize that until you get to heaven, there are some things that you will never understand. And we have to be okay with that. There are some things that we will never understand, because if you try to understand everything, you'll drive yourself crazy, you'll be frustrated, and you may even go into depression. Because there are some things that we just do not understand. I said, I think this message is very timely because even during our time of fellowship today, I discovered that we lost one of our own here in this church, Mrs. Dennis, and her family is over here this week, suffered a heart attack and went home to be with the Lord. I just found that out just before getting up here to deliver this message today. Can I tell you that there's times that we just don't understand? It makes no sense. And I'm sort of honestly a little bit in shock. I'm a lot in shock. Startled. And I'm going to tell you, there's some things that happen in our life that we don't understand. Can I also tell you that just yesterday we had a celebration of life here for someone who passed on, who had been battling cancer for many years. Young, way beyond where she wasn't able to live out the fullness of life that we would think she should be able to in a number of years, and had a celebration of her life here today. And we had prayed for her many times, a friend of Bob, Nancy. And the questions there again are, why? Why, God? I don't understand. We know that even this week, the tragedy in London that we all probably heard about, where a terrorist took a vehicle and mowed people over. And among all those people, some of the people that died, there was a couple of Americans who were over there taking the trip of a lifetime, celebrating their 25th anniversary, and his life was taken, and she's hanging on to life. There's things that happen that we don't understand, and we have the question, why? We also may have the question, if only, or if I could have, or perhaps, and we don't understand. I want to talk to you about when God doesn't make sense. When God doesn't make sense. Sometimes to us, he just doesn't make sense. We don't understand these things. So I believe this is a very timely message today. And I believe God has something he wants us to hear and understand and learn today. When I think about people who have had a bad day, when I look in the Bible, I think of a person by the name of Job. There's the book of Job. Job's the oldest book in the Bible. And it's not located first, but it's the oldest. And Job didn't have the Pentateuch, the first books of the Bible, to look back on, to reference and see what, you know, okay, yeah, it says here. No, Job just had a relationship with God, very close to God. The Bible calls him one of the most perfect men on the face of the earth at that time. Just had a heart for God and had a relationship with God. But Job had a bad day. If I can paint this scene of this one particular day, all this happened on one day, and understand this scene, in the middle of this scene, Job's view is all he could see and all he could hear, and wave after wave of bad news came. It was tragic and horrendous, and his perspective was, all I know is what I'm hearing and seeing. And sometimes that is with us when we're in a bad day. All we know is what we're seeing and hearing, and it's bad. And here was Job in this scene, and a messenger came to Job, and I'm not going to give you the whole, lay out the whole scripture for you, but just I'll reference it. It's from the first chapter of Job. But a messenger comes to Job, and he gives him this bad news. He says, they were plowing the oxen, and the donkeys were grazing over here in the field. And this attack came. All the oxen were taken. The servants were slain with a sword, killed. And he said, and I'm the only one that has escaped to tell you. And while he was speaking, this messenger was speaking, another messenger came and said, there's been a fire that's burned up the sheep. All the sheep are gone, and the servants that were attending the sheep are dead, and I'm the only one that has escaped to tell you. And while he was speaking, another messenger came and said, the Chaldeans have formed three raids, and they were that came and and swept down and took your camels and made off with them. And the servants were all killed that were attending the camels. And they said, and I'm the only one that survived to tell you. And while he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, your sons and your daughters, they were having a party at your older brother's house. And suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house, and it collapsed on them, and they're all dead, and I'm the only one that has escaped to tell you. I'm going to tell you, that's a bad day. Wave after wave after wave. And it goes on to say in the next chapter, to make matters worse, Job suffered some painful sores that started afflicting his body. The Bible describes that the sores were from the crown of his head all the way to the soles of his feet. So much so that Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. Job was having a bad day. And here was Job, and we'll get into this in a moment, but Job was, I want to know that he had some responses that oftentimes we have. We're saying, why? Obviously, why? Why? I don't understand. Why has all this happened to me? I thought I was your servant. I thought I was following you. Why has this happened to me? I'm going to give you this question that's found in Job chapter 3 and verse 23 from the Message. It says, "What he said this, Job said, what's the point of life when it doesn't make sense, when God blocks all the roads to meaning? There's times where it just doesn't make sense. And our response to that in those times is extremely crucial. Let me give you some things I think will help us. Number one, what we need to do and remember is when we're having a bad day and we're going through things, we don't understand. We need to write this down. We need to think eternal. Think eternal. My wife was working yesterday, and I knew that she was having a stressful day. And I sent her a text. I just felt prompted. I need to encourage her, and I knew she really couldn't take a phone call. So I sent her this massive text. Because at the end of it, I put Psalm 91 in the whole thing, you know. And I just said, I started to get a couple verses out of it. I said, I just send the whole thing. I copied the whole chapter and just sent it to her. But before the text that I sent her, I was explaining to her something I had learned, and I was encouraging her to do this. And I was encouraging her to basically take your hand and put it up in front of your face and look at your hand. Maybe we've done this before. I think it fits here, okay? You take your hand. In fact, why don't y'all just do that right now? Just take your hand, put it up in front of your face, and look at your hand. Now, if you're looking at your hand, you're focusing on your hand. Everything beyond your hand is blurry, right? It's out of focus. But now, just keep your hand in that position and look through your hand, look past your hand, and you look out, and you can see me now. I'm clear, right? Okay? And your hand is out of focus, right? So, you put your hands down, but what I want you to see is that the hand oftentimes represents the day that we're in. It represents the trouble. I told her, I think it also represents the tactic of the enemy, because he just likes to come up in front of your face and go. And I said, what he doesn't want you to see is this big God that's beyond your day and beyond your issues and beyond your problems. And he just likes to get up in front of your face and say, no, don't look at him. And so we're looking at our day. We're looking at the hassles. We're looking at the problems. We're looking at the disaster. We're looking at tragedies. We're looking at the loss of a loved one. We're looking at this thing, and it looks terrible. But when you look beyond your hand, you can, and that gets out of focus. And what gets into focus is that there is a big God. And the enemy's putting his hand in front of your face, and he doesn't want you to see that. But there's a big God that's greater than your problems, greater than the tactics, greater than your bad day, greater than your loss. He's greater, okay? And so what we see is the temporary, but God is eternal. We see the now, we see the moment, and yes, it hurts. And yes, there's pain, and yes, there's sorrow. But I encourage you today to think eternal, because eternal will get you past the day and understand that there's more to it than this day. For those of you that have suffered a loss, I would encourage you to tell you that it's not a period It's a comma. Stay tuned. There's more yet to come. There's a promise of eternity. There's a promise of a tomorrow. There's a promise of a land that we're going to inherit, not like this land. It is a land, like they said, of Israel, a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a land where there's no more crying, there's no more sorrow, there's no more death. Come on, there's no more taxes. There's no more traffic. Like the streets are gold and the sun never sets. I mean, that's a real place. So there's something beyond what you're going through now. There's something eternal. Job said this. He came to this conclusion. Job chapter 42 and 2. In fact, he comes to this conclusion. This is in the last chapter of this book. After he's went through a series of all kind of questions for God and wrestling with things, he comes to some conclusions. And he says in chapter 42, verse 2, I know that you can do all things. And I've highlighted that whole line there, but really we could just highlight, I know you. I know you. See, he had more than just the facts. He had a relationship. He had more than a circumstance. He had a relationship. He said, I know you, and I know that you can do all things. Can I tell you, sometimes we're seeking his hand and we just need to seek his face, because his face is his character, it's who he is. But when we understand who he is, then we know that his hands, his ability, he can do all things. And then he says, no plan of yours can be thwarted. No matter what the device of the enemy is, the Bible says no weapon formed against you will prosper. What will prosper is God's plan. God has a plan for you, and no matter what, how much the devil puts his hand in front of your face, I want you to say, there's a big God that's greater. You see through that. You got this little guy. There's this little guy, if you could picture this, little guy with a hand up in your face going, don't look, don't look, don't look. Standing behind him is this enormous God saying, just look past that, because I'm more than able. Amen. So I know that you can do all things. And so while dealing with the temporary, the now, we must look beyond it. And that's what Job did. He looked beyond it. He said, I know that you can do all things. There was a knowing, and I just got to present this to you. There was a knowing that comes from this. This is not in your notes, but you can write this down. And that is, the knowing comes from, first of all, a revelation. And that revelation comes from the Holy Spirit. That's what we pray happens to you today in this house, is that there's a revelation of the Holy Spirit of who Jesus is. And only the Holy Spirit can reveal him to you. My words, the songs, all this, none of this can reveal this unless the Holy Spirit reveal him. So there's a revelation. Even on your bad day, God will reveal to you. And Job had a revelation. Second thing we see is that knowing, how do we know God? He said, I know you. I know you. We know him not only through revelation, but through his word. And the Holy Spirit will always confirm God's word. His word is truth. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. So if you'll know who he is the word. The Bible says he was the word made flesh and dwelt among us. You want to know who he is, it's in through his word. The third thing is through faith, because we must accept that word, accept him and receive him through his own faith. We exercise that faith that we're all been given by God and say, yes, Lord. But it's not just saying yes. The fourth thing, way that we know him, is through following. So through revelation, through his word, through faith, and through following. The Bible says in one place that we're to go on to know the Lord. So it's not us just to know about him and know who he is, but I want to go on to know him. I want to follow him. That means obey. We don't like that word. Following's a lot more friendly, you know, but that's really what it means. We're going to follow him. We're not going to follow our own understanding. We're going to acknowledge him. We're going to trust him. And so there's that relationship. Job had that. So I want to encourage you, as you think eternal, focus on those things. How do we know him? How do we see beyond the hand? We see eternally. God gives us revelation. He gives us his word. He gives us faith. He gives us the ability to follow Christ through the power of his Holy Spirit. And so we begin to think eternally now. The next thing I want us to see is that we must let go. We must let go. And sometimes we don't want to hold on. I don't understand. I'm grappling with these questions. And there comes a time when we must release and let go. There's a question that was, we find in Job chapter 42 and verse 3. And it's a question actually from God. And he says, who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge? Surely then Job answers, and Job says, "Surely I spoke things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me." That word obscures, if you look at what that means, it means it's to make things cloudy or to hide or to complicate or to blur or to confuse. It means muddy. And I think sometimes we do that with our questions. We're just muddying it up. We don't understand, and we get more frustrated and more confused, and our questions bring more questions to us. And in our efforts to find answers, we actually frustrate and complicate things in our effort to try to find answers. Another translation puts it this way in the New Living Translation of that verse. It says, Who is it that questions my wisdom with such ignorance? Ignorance is not an insult. Ignorance means you just don't know. We just don't know. We don't understand. We don't have enough information. He says, and then Job says, "It is I, and I was talking about things I knew nothing about, things far too wonderful for me." So the fact is, we just simply don't have enough information. And so we keep questioning, we keep asking, but perhaps we're asking the wrong questions. Perhaps we're asking the wrong questions. I know this is a serious message, so let me try to kind of liven it up here just a little bit. I heard a story of a man who, he was up in this high mountain, and he fell off the mountain off of a cliff. And as he fell, there was a branch sticking out, like a root thing sticking out of the side of the cliff, and he grabs hold of it. And there's just him hanging there holding on to this branch, and death below, just a drop off. And he says, and so he starts crying out for help, and he says, "Help, help, is anybody up there? Is anybody up there? Somebody help me." And that voice comes from heaven, and he says, "Why, yes, this is God. Let go of the branch, and I will catch you." And he says, "Is there anybody else up there?" I think that's the way it is. We get answers, but sometimes we don't want the answers that we get. And maybe we're asking the wrong questions, because we want the answers we want that will satisfy us. But when God gives us His answer, and life's answer doesn't come in, listen, life's answer doesn't come in pretty packages with pretty little bows on it. But I believe that we're going through bad days, and there is a point we have to come to when we must let go. But God is wanting to get you to this point for a reason, because at the end of your questions, you're going to find the true answer. We want answers that satisfy us, but the true answer is there is a God. There is a God. Our questions need to lead us to the resolve that there is a God that knows more than we do, and we must release and let go. Because you could go through all of life having some scenarios that have happened in your own life, and they've happened in my life, where I've had seasons where I've tried to answer some whys, and I've had to resolve that I may never get the answer to the whys, and I've just got to release it to God and let go and trust Him that He knows best. Let me give you another thing. I think it leads us to this point, and that is get close. Get close. The questions are present to lead us to not the answers we want, but to the God that we need. If we allow it to, our situations will lead us to Him. I had a day this week, I was told a few people about it. You know, I love it when you have those times where you hear real specific word from God. And I really, that God still speaks, we know that, right? And I was having a busy moment, and I was needing to be productive in the middle of the day. And so I put some music on, you know, in my ears, and it was the kind of music that get me moving and get pretty productive, you know. I got to get the job done. And then I sensed the Lord speak to me, "Cut it off. I need to talk to you." Boy, I reached up, I cut that thing off. Said, "Okay, Lord, I'm ready. I'm listening. I want to. If you get the opportunity to hear God's voice, don't pass Him by. In fact, I believe He's speaking today. Don't pass Him by." And so and I'll just simply just tell you what I heard basically was, "Get close. Get close to me. Get close to me." We don't need all of this earth's answers and cute little answers. We need him. We need him. I encourage you to get close. Look at what Job said in verse 5. Job says, "My ears have heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you." There's a difference. In other words, I know about you. I've heard about you. I know about you, but now through this thing that I've went through, now I see you. And I think sometimes God has to take us through some things for us to see him. Actually, when the children of Israel were out, coming out of bondage, and they went through the wilderness, there were things they went through, and they, by going through those things, they realized who he was. Oh, he is our provider. He's provided manna for us in the wilderness. He is God Jehovah, our provider. And different things that they would go through, and it would reveal to them who God was and is. And so we're to look to him and get close to him. I've heard it said this phrase before: the more you know him, the more you love him. And that's good. We like that. But how about try this one on? The more you know him, the more you'll trust him. See, when answers aren't enough, there used to be a song we sung: when answers aren't enough, there is Jesus. And be assured, and that's the point of this message, be assured, he's with us. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22 says this: "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith." I am assured. In fact, as we draw near to God, the scripture tells us that he's going to draw near to us. But we draw near to us with full assurance of faith. He is, and here's what I want us to get. Write this down real quick. Assured of what? Here's some things to be assured of. Number one, be assured that God is there. Be assured that God is there. It may not seem like it. It may not feel like it. But guess what? We don't go by sight and we don't go by feelings. The just shall live by what? Faith. God is there. David had some things he went through as well. Psalm 139, David says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens," look at this, "you are there. And if I made my bed in the depths, you are there." Reminds me of one time that the children of Israel were in a battle, and the enemy said, "Hey, we figured this out. They always win on the mountaintop. Let's get them in the valley. We'll defeat them in the valley. We'll defeat them on their bad day. We'll defeat them when they're weak and when we're down. That's when we'll get them." And God heard what the enemy said and said, "Because you think that I'm God of the mountain and not God of the valley, I will destroy the enemy in the valley." And that's exactly what he did. I want to tell you today, God doesn't just move on Sunday morning. He moves on Monday morning. He doesn't just show up in Sunday school. He shows up in Monday school and Monday traffic, Monday work. Come on, he's there. He's there. We can be assured of that. He is there. Hebrews chapter 13 and 5. Let me give you some scriptures to encourage you. He says, Jesus said, "Never." Everybody say it. "Never will I leave you." Say it again. "Never will I forsake you." Never. Never. So I don't care what it seems like. I don't care how much the enemy's trying to blur your vision and get in your face. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Your mother and your father may forsake you, but he said, I'll be your mother, your father. Come on, come on. When you're pushed down and when things go wrong, God said he'll lift us up with his right hand. Come on, he's there to help us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Let me give you another one. It's found in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. This is in the Living Bible. This is just beautiful. He knows about everyone everywhere. Everything about us is bare and wide open to the all-seeing eyes of our living God. Nothing can be hidden from him. Nothing can be hidden from him. He sees it all. So he hasn't missed anything. It's not like when you get in prayer, you have to say, "Okay, God, let me give you an update. I know I hadn't talked to you in a while. I need to fill you in on some things you may have missed." No, he's there. He's there. He knows where you are. He knows where you live. Let me give you another one. Number two, be assured God is never late. He's never late. It may seem like it, but he's never late. Acts 16, 25 through 26. Let me paint the scene here. Paul and Silas are in jail. It's midnight. It's not looking good. They're having a bad day. Future uncertain. Death a possibility. And yet, here they are in this prison, recognizing and acknowledging in the midst of their bad day, their living God, who sees all, knows all. And they began to sing hymns. They began to sing, and they began to praise God. They began to lift up their voices to God. And in fact, it goes on to say that the prisoners were listening to them. They were hearing this. So I'm going to tell you just a little insert reminder here, and that is when you're going through your bad day, there's other people watching how you handle your bad day. But here they were being a testimony of God's presence. Look, God was there with them even in the prison. Because we just read that he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us, that we can't go anywhere from his presence. No matter what you're feeling today emotionally, I want to tell you, no matter what you're going through, he is there with us. And there they were having church. And there was an environment in that place that changed. And then I want us to see what happens. I love this word, suddenly. Suddenly. You may be having a bad day, but I want to tell you, he's right there, and he could change things suddenly. He could do things in a moment that we can't do in a lifetime. He can do something in a moment and that we can't do with all of our questioning and reasoning and trying to maneuver and understand things. God just shows up, and I'm going to tell you, the answer's there. The answer's in his presence. Look at this. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake, and the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open. Man, somebody hit the buzzer on the wall. They always open, right? And everybody's chains came loose. Leave that up there for a moment. Look at this. All the prison doors flew open. That's what I'm praying happens in this house today. And if you're watching online in your life today, as the prison doors fly open and everybody's chained, whatever's bonding you, I want to tell you, when you're having a dark moment, like Jesus was having that dark moment, there's some times when what the enemy wants to do is keep you in the darkness. He wants to keep you there. For Jesus, it was 3 hours in that place of that darkness. But can I tell you that there's another story? That's in a few weeks from now, right? There's another story coming. The enemy would love to keep you in the darkness. But God's goal is that everybody's chains come loose and that you're free in Jesus' name. And I want to tell you, it can happen in your life today. So God is never late. He'll show up on time. He's an on-time God. Look at the third thing. Be assured that God knows best. God knows best. This is a tough one for us in those times when, and I've been in these situations as a pastor, where you've got somebody in the hospital, and the doctors are saying one thing, and then you got your church saying the other thing. And the family's caught in the middle. And they want to believe God, but yet they're hearing what the doctors say. I want to tell you, we need to hear what God's saying, but there are times when the answers don't come how we would like them to be. And it's at those times, you know, we have faith in God's hand. He can do all things. He can heal that person. He can raise that person up. But I like to look at it this way. There's this thing of faith, and I've been saying this for years as a pastor of people, but listen, there's a thing called faith that we have in God, but underneath that faith, there's a safety net called trust. It's a part of faith. It's another dimension of faith, but it's a safety net so that when God doesn't answer the way that we think he does, we don't just have faith in his hand, but we trust his heart, we trust his face, we know his character, we know that at the end of the day, God knows best. Amen, everybody? God knows best. In fact, we'd say, well, if the person would have had enough faith, or maybe if I had enough faith, well, do you know in what we call the Hall of Faith, this is Hebrews chapter 11, there's a list of all these great people and giants of the faith who did all these great exploits by their faith. But at the end of that, don't forget, it's still listed in the Hall of Faith. It says, and others. That there were others that didn't receive the promise. Look at this with me. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39 and 40, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Not in this life, because it goes on to say, God had something, planned something better. God had the answer in the next life. You know, that's real life, don't you? That's the forever place. This is temporary. God had something better laid up for them. We will not understand on this side, but that's okay. I'm okay with not understanding everything, because if I did, we've said this before, you know, if God could fit in here, you wouldn't want to serve that kind of God. So we do know this. We trust who He is, and we know that He knows what is best. Look at Isaiah chapter 55. In the Living Bible, it says this: "This plan of mine is not what you would work out. Neither are my thoughts the same as yours. Just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So whatever you're thinking, it ain't close. Whatever you're thinking, go ahead, just think and figure it out. It ain't close, because God's ways are. And now we may. God could give us revelation and give us some understanding, but I want to tell you, we still see through a glass darkly, because we don't have the capacity. But then one day we will see face to face. Fourth, be assured God cares. Be assured God cares. In the Message, in James chapter 5, verse 11, you've heard, of course, of Job's staying power. Now, James is here now referring back to what we talked about Job. You've heard about his staying power, and you know how God brought it all together for him at the end. Why? Because God cares. He cares right down to the last detail. See, Job ended up being more blessed than he was in the beginning. I just feel very prompted to tell you, you may be in a place of darkness, but be assured God will show up even in your dark place. David had some dark places. Read the psalm. He starts out asking questions, wrestling. Just look at them. Take some time this afternoon. Read some of the psalms. About halfway down, the Holy Spirit begins to reveal some things, and by the end of it, he's praising God. God's showed up in the midst of it. God will show up in the midst of your darkness. Jonah was in the belly of a large fish. Not a good day, y'all. We won't describe that scene for you. And yet God showed up in the midst of it all and delivered him out of it. Of course, it was when Jonah surrendered. He said, "Okay, Lord." Paul and Silas, again, were in the jail at midnight. It was dark, but God showed up. Nicodemus comes to Jesus with some questions in the dark at night, and Jesus revealed some things to him. And he said, "Whoa, what do you mean man must be born again? You mean I could start over? Well, I'm talking spiritual here. Then I'll do a new birth inside of you." And in that setting, look at this. In that setting, we have the greatest scripture ever given. At dark, in darkness, in the nighttime. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life." In the midst of the darkness, God will reveal himself. I think sometimes God gets us in the darkness so we'll be still. And there's nothing else except him. And he reveals himself, and light then begins to break forth. Bad days, be assured he's with us. How do we get out of a bad day, though? How do we get out of that darkness? Again, there's revelation, there's his word, there's faith, and there's following. We talked about that. We can have steps 1, 2, and 3, and all that's good. But I still say it's just when God just shows up. He's beyond words. He's beyond description. His presence. I wrote this down. I hesitate to share this because I've shared this before, but this morning, God began to remind me again of a vision that I had years ago, and I don't see things flying around. I'm not whatever, but I'm just telling you, all I know is I went to pray. This was many years ago, and as soon as my knees hit the ground, I saw these things. And I saw our church, I saw this storm coming, this darkness, this black cloud blowing across, and it was blowing the steeple over, and it was blowing, and I thought, how can we survive this? At that moment, we were gathered in the church, and I saw we were praying, and as we began to pray, the clouds began to open, and there was this hand, it was a gold hand, I'm just telling you what I saw, came down and just towards the church, and when the hand got close to the church, the roof of the church just began to explode. And when that happened, there was this scroll that just came and went from, it went this way. If you're looking from UNC Charlotte, it came this way, and it just rolled across, and that blackness just went, and the blue skies came behind it. It's kind of like the snow day we had the other day when we came in, it was snowy and cloudy, and we went out and the sun was shining. By the way, that's what happens when you go to church, you know, it just changes. Anyway. But God showed me it's when my people cry out to me. It's when my people pray. And even if your prayer is, my God, why? I don't understand. God understands and He cares. He cares. He cares. So because He cares, the Bible says we can cast all of our cares on Him because He cares for us. Amen. Bow your heads with me if you would today. One of the first things that, we talk about Job, but one of the first things that Job did when all this news came to him was he fell on his face and he worshiped God. So I want to encourage you, even though there's questions, continue to worship God in the middle of your questions. While you're questioning, continue to worship God. Begin to continue to acknowledge who He is. And then Job did another thing. He began to pray for his friends. And the Bible says when he began to pray for his friends in the midst of his pain, God turned everything around. And God gave him double for his trouble. But I just know this. When we pray, God hears us. And He answers. And He shows up. And He's there. None of this can be discovered, though, without a relationship with Him. Without a relationship, without His presence, it's notes on a page. It's another sermon, another day. But when we invite Him to come into our life and we surrender our life to Him and we acknowledge Him and we declare we're going to follow Him, everything changes. We begin a relationship with Him. And I would love to help lead you into a relationship with Him. If you're here today and you know you don't have a right relationship with Him, I'm going to just help lead you in a prayer to start that today. It may be that you've been there, but you need a new beginning. We're going to pray a prayer of a new beginning today. And if you're watching online, I encourage you. You may be watching this live, you may be watching it recorded. It doesn't matter. God is live. And I want to encourage you to pray this with us. And let it be your faith. I'm just helping you with the words. And God will come and He'll show up. So for everybody that needs to pray this prayer, mean it from your heart. I'm going to ask everybody in this house to pray this as support with them. But if you're here today and you're the one that needs to pray this, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, would you just lift up a hand? And I just would like to just know who I'm connecting with today, who I'm agreeing with today. Thank you. God bless you today. God bless you. Let's pray. Join with us online as well. Let's all pray. Today, God, I acknowledge You. I give You all my questions, all my concerns, all my cares. I cast them at Your feet. Today, I know that You know best. And You are good. And though I may not understand, I trust You. I not only trust You, I surrender to You. I commit myself to You. I ask You to come into my life. heal me, help me, change me. God, I give you my life. I give you my questions. I give you all my bad days. Because I know that you're working all things together for my good. So Jesus, thank you for taking my place. Thank you for taking my sins upon yourself. Today I accept what you did for me. You took the guilt of sin on yourself so that I could be set free. Thank you for that freedom. Thank you for that gift of life. I accept it, and I accept you. With all my heart, I will follow you as you help me in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for every person who's here in this house or watching online that just prayed that prayer. I pray for them, God. I pray, God, that you will assure them. In fact, Lord, I pray that theirs will be what we call blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Let that be the song of their heart today. God, and so no matter what they face, may they see beyond it and know that you're there. You're with them. Your present help in the time of need. We thank you for the assurance that we have. And today we declare as a church, God, we trust in you. We trust in you. Thank you for doing a new thing today. Thank you for beginning a new thing today. God, we give you all the praise for all accomplished in Jesus' name. And everyone together said amen. 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 Come on, let's thank God for his word today, for what he's done in lives, for changing lives today. Amen. Amen.